560 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning, Greater Atlanta and beyond. This is The Morning Quest. We help you find joy in the journey, but truly, you bring that joy back to us tenfold. I am joined by some very holy Catholics in the studio. And Dave's
and
here.
Me too, yes.
Every time you say that, Dave. Oh, Dave, you're a treasure.
Dave is you know, he's like the patron saint of every man, you know? Like just the kind of dad's patron saint. You know,
the patron saint of dad jokes.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh my goodness gracious.
And speaking of jokes, the joy of the Lord is our strength, and I think it's prayer time, and it's Allison's pray day. You got one for us, Allison?
Sure do. Let's start in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful week that you have given us. We thank you for another day to love and serve you. Guide us as we start the week. Help us to keep our focus on you in every aspect of our life, and just to know that you are there always in every challenge and every trial and every joyful time. Let us call on your name and just know that you're there and to be a part of our life on a constant basis. But we glorify you and we thank you for this beautiful day and this beautiful weather, and we give glory to your holy name. We ask this in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Father,
amen.
Son,
Father,
Holy,
Son
Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I had a good weekend. I was at the...
Yeah, you were out of town.
I did stand-up comedy at the National Catholic Singles Conference.
Cool.
And you sound like you're better, praise God.
I mean, I tell you, it was a buzzer beater for me, because I came here and I'd only slept like 3 hours. I was sick.
That was on Friday morning. Yeah. I mean, yeah,
Friday
you
morning,
didn't look well.
And I told Dave, I was like, Dave, look, I'm coming in for the intro, but I don't know. I got much more gas in the tank than that. And so I come in for the intro, I boogie out, and then I, you know, tried to get and lock in my normal prayer routine, but then you think, oh, I'm gonna go home and I'm gonna rest. But I wasn't packed.
You know? Oh no! You're
so
not resting.
I'm just like, yeah, I'm running on fumes trying to put all this stuff together. Then I get in the Uber and I'm on the way there, and I'm like, I'll pay you extra. Just stop by CVS. I got to get some, you know, whatever. I think I wanted to get some stuff for you know, like Advil. Yeah. I wanted to get some Sudafed, but the line was too long. So we get there. I go and I sound check, and I go back to my room, and I'm like, I just got to lay down for a few hours or something. And I wasn't even shaking people's hands. You know, that's kind of weird when you're showing up and you're like, nice to meet you. Like, oh, wait, I'm kind of under the weather. Like, oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Okay, you're going to be sharing a mic with people. That makes me comfortable.
Well, and that's totally not you either. I mean, you're so personable that, if that's our first impression.
And so I go back and I rest. I couldn't even sleep. I was like so amped. I mean, it's a big event. I'm pretty amped up. So I go back, I lay down for a couple of hours, I get up, I, you know, steam in the shower, get decongested, go hit the stage, and it went really well, actually.
Woo-hoo!
Like, it went, you know, I look back and I'm like, could it have maybe gone a little better if I was 100%? Maybe, but, you know, God, like you say, I did the sowing and God did the growing.
He did the growing.
Yeah. So, and then afterwards, I feel like I sweated out whatever I had on stage. I was moving around so much, and I was,
look at that.
You know, yeah, I was looked like I was taking a bad polygraph or something when I was up there. And so I'm so pumped up that, like, afterward, it went well, despite all the hurdles. And I remember there's this girl that I rode down, and I wasn't shaking people's hands before. And then there was this other person. I was like, nice to meet you. And I gave him the good old handshake. And she's like, oh, I was like, and how are you doing? And she's like, you wouldn't shake my hand before. Like, but you're going to shake her hand? I was like,
oh,
this looks weird. I'm not picking favorites. I'm just kind of like, you know, I'm in the clouds right now. I'm so happy that this worked out. I feel like the best way I could maybe describe it is like, Allison, you would know this better than me, but kind of like a mother giving birth, you know, the pain and the intensity before and then. Yeah. Once the dust settles, it's just like,
you don't remember.
Thank
the pain's
you,
gone.
Jesus.
You don't remember the pain. It was just like, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. People seemed super happy, and I was really grateful. If you ever get the chance to go, really was an amazing experience. Amazing people there. I mean, you felt the Lord's presence very palpably.
And you said you saw our friend Larry Shower there. He took the trek.
Yeah, I did. I saw Larry Shower there. Shout out to Larry. It was pretty awesome to hang out with him. Then I could have stayed an extra day, but I came back early for Father Scott Riley's installation mass.
Yes, at St. Brendan's.
There's a new sheriff in town.
He's a new pastor there.
And it was packed, you guys. Our buddy Christopher Bell.
Yes.
He's going to be the head of the Knights of Columbus, Georgia. He's on the long track, but he was elected state warden.
Yeah.
He was there,
nice.
I mean, it was just like a fleet of different knights were there, and their swords and
beautiful.
I love it when they're all formal and everything. And
yeah, exactly.
I love that.
No, that's wonderful. It really is.
Bishop Joel was there.
Oh,
yeah, gave the installation. It was pretty funny. Something he said when he stood up there was like, "Well, just another Sunday mass here," because it's so packed. Just another Sunday mass with, all these knights and 200 seats out in the narthex. This parish is thriving.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it was a special occasion, but I'm paraphrasing, but the way he said it was really funny. And Father Scott was awesome. I'll give one last thing about that is he got up, he thanked his father. He thought his brothers were there, and hopefully he doesn't mind me saying this, but he got a little choked up when he gave his father a shout out twice on stage. And that was really cool to see that. You see the heart behind that pastor.
That's beautiful.
Very cool.
Just ahead on the Morning Quest.
Okay, we have a look back segment with Jane Smith, parishioner at St. Brendan the Navigator. And she'll be talking about the one-of-a-kind corpus in the sanctuary at St. Brendan the Navigator. By the way, our buddy Chet Pershner helps us get acquainted with St. Pontian and Hippolytus martyrs. Our buddy Dave Savage is
Daddy.
It's Monday.
It's Monday. So yeah, Monday memes. Dadder up, everybody. By the way, an amazing new gospel reflection. Father Eric Hill, pastor Transfiguration in Marietta, is going to be unpacking today's gospel reading. It was so special last week. Really looking forward to today. But next, Brenda Sharman, founder of True Beauty, will be talking about this amazing apostolate, helping teenage girls see their God-given identity.
The Morning Quest continues to find joy in the journey. On AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
Today on The Morning Quest, we are joined by Brenda Sharman, founder of True Beauty, a Christ-centered program helping teen girls live lives of goodness, beauty, and truth. In a culture of social media pressures, confusing messages about identity, and temptations to compromise dignity, True Beauty teaches young women what God says about beauty and how to carry themselves with confidence and embrace their worth without compromise. We're so glad to have you here, Brenda.
Good morning. Thank you, Josh. Thank you, Allison.
We are so happy you're here.
It's a thrill to be back. I was here the other day.
Yes.
And we had our first session past Sunday. It went really well.
Awesome.
Well, fantastic.
Awesome.
Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah. Well, so many young ladies are being faced with really confusing influences in today's culture, from the everyday pressures of social media and our selfie culture to the voices in the media saying that they can choose their gender. Growing up as a teen girl really is harder than ever. And many girls compare themselves to their friends or compete with their peers for likes, attention, and followers. And oftentimes this leads our young ladies to want to post, sexy, racy, inappropriate photos on social media just to get attention. And a lot of mothers and fathers are at a loss as to what they can do to help their daughters. And so that's where True Beauty can help. We have created a Christ-centered program where young women can learn about what God says about beauty or how we present ourselves and the importance of not compromising our dignity in a very over-sexualized world. So we started the program the other day talking about basically what is beauty.
Yeah.
So we had a beautiful discussion about that. And some of the purposes of the program really is to just bring young ladies closer to Christ and his church. One of the scripture references that we talked about, I love Philippians 4:8, says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or worthy of praise, think about these things.
Mm.
So we hear this, these suggestions from God of how we should behave and what we should think about. And so often it's very countercultural.
Oh, absolutely it is.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And then we want girls to feel more confident about who they are and how God created them. And on our registration page, when girls sign up on truebeautymodel.com, we don't take applications, so they don't have to submit a photo and we analyze who can be in it. No, it's open registration. And some of the comments that really just touched my heart is most young girls mentioned something about how they're in the program because they want to feel more confident.
Wow.
Hmm. And I think all this, the compare and compete culture that our girls are living in has really chipped away at their confidence level. They don't know how they're supposed to look. Am I supposed to be like this girl or that influencer? Or this girl is really hot and sexy and she has a million followers. So is that what I should do? And the voices sometimes drown out God's voices. So we want to encourage the high school girls to stand strong against the negative societal pressures. And when you think about like some of our influencers in the Catholic Church, our saints.
Yes.
You think in next session, we're going to talk about St. Joan of Arc.
Oh, wow.
And, nice.
Yes. So when you think she is like the Proverbs 31:25 woman, she is clothed with strength and dignity.
Yeah.
And laughs at the days to come, right? So we want to just kind of press the reset button with some of these role models for our young ladies. And we also go ahead, Josh.
Go ahead. I'm just sorry. I mean, I love this quote that's in your, I guess a little bit in your brochure and your curriculum. It's from Proverbs 31:30. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but the woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And what an amazing, you know, wealth and treasure that you are helping these women cultivate, right? Because we all know that outward appearance is fleeting, at least maybe in the eyes of tabloids. But, you know, like St. Paul talks about, what we cultivate interiorly, that is a source of strength and peace and wisdom that only grows as the years go on, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's, you really helping them tap into their eternal sense of worth. That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And ultimately, that's the kind of beauty that we're talking about in the True Beauty program. It's the beauty that comes from our hearts. It's beautiful actions that flow from a heart filled with love. And the wonderful thing is that all of us can be beautiful in this way. If we form our hearts to be so filled with love and virtue that our existence and our actions radiate love and beauty. So really, to put it simply, beauty is as beauty does, as we've all heard.
Yeah.
But it's what we do in life that can make us truly beautiful. It's how we treat other people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that is the type of true beauty, for example, that like Mother Teresa displayed. Her selfless, loving heart is what made her so attractive and beautiful. And her beauty flowed from a heart that was so immersed in doing God's will, in seeing Jesus in other people, loving others even when it wasn't easy.
Yeah.
She expected nothing in return. So that's the kind of beauty that we're helping to help the girls to focus on. And,
well, it sounds like you're trying to make them saints. I mean,
what, I am.
Right?
Yes, all of us, me included. It's a good reminder for me, too.
And actually, isn't that what we love about the saints? I mean, their holiness is palpable, and that is objective. That is objectively beautiful.
Agreed. There was an apparition of our Blessed Mother one time, and the visionaries saw Our Lady, and she just was so beautiful. And they looked at her, and they said, "Oh my gosh, you're so beautiful. How can we be more beautiful like you?" And our Blessed Mother said, "If you want to be more beautiful, love more."
Oh,
if you want to be more beautiful, love more. So that's the kind of beauty that we're helping the girls to see themselves.
That's fantastic.
And Brenda, I know you have some amazing quotes that tie into true beauty. So we would love to hear some of those.
Okay. Yes. Edgar Allan Poe said, "Beauty of whatever kind, in its supreme development, invariably excites the sensitive soul to tears."
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. And then I read one writer who talked about beauty as a transcendent state of consciousness, a state where a person is elevated beyond their daily sense of self and experiences connection with their soul. And then another writer said, "Beauty brings us face to face with the sacred, forcing us to recognize the divine within ourselves. It inspires hope and flows from love." Beauty is the universal desire for a better world.
My goodness.
Wow.
Yeah. And then there's a philosopher that I read about. His name is Roger Scruton, and he wrote in his book that there are actually like four different types of beauty. He said that there is human beauty, like attractive people.
Yeah.
Everyday beauty, like pretty decorations or furniture, a pretty home.
Yeah.
And then there's also natural beauty, such as a sunset or flowers or the Grand Canyon. Mm-hmm. And there's also artistic beauty, such as art, poems, paintings, dancing, music, things like that. But in True Beauty, we are going to focus on the interior beauty, how we treat other people, having a loving, grace-filled heart that loves other people, and it's those beautiful actions that flow from a heart filled with love.
Wow, that's so powerful. And praise God, you are imparting this in your incredible curriculum. Fantastic. Mm. Thank you so much, Brenda Sharman, founder of True Beauty, a Christ-centered program helping teen girls live lives of goodness, beauty, and truth. To learn more about their incredible program and upcoming events, go to truebeautymodel.com, truebeautymodel.com. We're so grateful for you, Brenda.
Thank you, Josh. Thank you, Allison.
Still to come on The Morning Quest.
On the horizon, we have a look back conversation with Jane Smith, parishioner at St. Brendan the Navigator, talking about the one-of-a-kind corpus in the sanctuary. By the way, our buddy Chuck Persner helps us get acquainted with Saints Pontian and Hippolytus. Our resident dad joke scholar is going to be rocking and rolling with us. Dadder Up Dave is bringing us Monday memes. But next, our latest edition of The Morning Quest, Father Eric Hill, pastor, Transfiguration Catholic Church in Marietta, unpacks today's gospel reading.
Hi, this is Anna Mitchell. Join Matt Swaim and me tomorrow morning from 6 to 8 for the Sunrise Morning Show on AM 1160, The Quest. But now, let's return to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It is 8:20, and we are joined by Father Eric Hill, pastor of Transfiguration Catholic Church in Marietta. How are you, Father?
Good morning. Wonderful.
Well, we're better because you are going to give us that good old-fashioned soul food, and what a blessing you have been to this program. We are truly grateful.
Well, thank you for the invitation.
Absolutely. Will you tee us off, Father?
Let's pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your abiding presence. Help us to be true, authentic disciples, followers of your word, to live your life in every way. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. So the gospel reading is from Matthew 23:13 through 22. Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You lock the kingdom of heaven before men. You do not enter yourselves, nor do you allow entrance to those trying to enter. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You traverse sea and land to make one convert, and when that happens, you make him a child of Gehenna, twice as much as yourselves. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, 'If one swears by the temple, it means nothing, but if one swears by the gold of the temple, one is obligated.' Blind fools, which is greater, than the gold or the temple that made the gold sacred? And you say, 'If one swears by the altar, it means nothing, but if one swears by the gift on the altar, one is obligated.' You blind ones, which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? One who swears by the altar swears by it and all that is upon it. One who swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. And one who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who is seated on it." The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
A lot of woeing.
I know. Yeah, I know. Yes.
I feel like a horse. The difficulty is that this is not a nice gospel. This is not, I mean, this is a good gospel, but it's not a nice one to the scribes and Pharisees. The sad part is I think it's also a little challenge to us.
Mm-hmm.
One of the critiques I hear of some people who don't go to church, Protestant or Catholic, say that it, you know, but the people that go to church are a bunch of hypocrites.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes And it was one of the things I preach. I said, you know, we have bumper stickers for our parish. And I said, if you're a bad driver, don't put the bumper sticker on your car.
Yes, yeah. You're setting an example.
Yeah. You know, it's if you're truly going to be, you say you're living this gospel or living the Christian life, then you have to really live it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's hard. It's hard to live it because, you know, we put a statue in our front yard of Joseph and proclaim, or the rosary from our rearview mirror, but are we really living that? And people are constantly watching us,
mm-hmm.
And observing not what we say or what we say we profess, but actually how we're living.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're not living that authentic life, then we're kind of who Jesus is talking about in today's gospel. You know, we're becoming the hypocrites. We live one life inside the church, and then we live one life outside the church, and that's difficult. And it's hard to live the Christian life outside the church.
Yeah.
It's hard.
And it probably in your house as well, as the, you know, it's like the phrase I've heard, street angel and house devil, right? Like it's maybe easier to do it publicly when there's people watching, but then when you're behind closed doors and with the people you're most familiar with, that can be probably I think for me too, like the biggest challenge, mm-hmm. right?
Well, we can treat the perfect stranger better than we treat the people that we say we love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, our spouse, our children, parents, siblings, we can treat them the worst. And we go out and say, oh, good morning to a perfect stranger. And how are you doing? Nice to see you. And then even our own family will look at us and go, who are you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is not the person I just saw 10 minutes ago inside the house. You're right.
Yeah.
Living the Christian life is... And my homily this weekend was about, it takes work.
Yeah.
You know, if we want to make a commitment to truly live in the Christian life, it's hard. Just as much as it's hard to be a good cook or a good spouse or a good child or even a good baseball player.
Mm-hmm.
It takes work. And I think this challenge today, and I'm sure the scribes and Pharisees were extremely excited about words from Jesus today.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know, they were not happy because... what he's saying is true.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like he was making up some story or lying. It was they ultimately had to look at their lives and go, they had to admit in some way he's right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I don't like it.
Yeah, but no,
I don't want to hear it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's true.
Gosh. I didn't mean to interrupt you. What were you saying, Father?
No,
so sorry.
Ahead.
Well, I mean, you're really inspiring me with what you're saying, Father. I didn't realize maybe the magnitude of this kind of confrontation until I actually saw it last night. I saw an episode of The Chosen, the new season. They depict this, and there's a lot of people around, and he just blasts these Pharisees, and it is a heated confrontation.
Exchange.
Yeah, with a large crowd, and it kind of, I mean, again, we can only imagine what it was really like, but it kind of put into perspective the magnitude of this kind of confrontation and the intensity behind it. And so this wasn't kind of a gentle rebuke. At least they don't portray it like this. And then I think we gotta, you bring up such a great point, Father, is like, how are we living a sermon? You know?
Are we following into the same trap that they did 2,000 years ago?
Exactly. Yeah. And I think the key to that is just like we have to have that sacramental orbit, you know, adoration, regular mass. I mean, and let God do the soul surgery, but also be wise enough to, like, when Jesus confronts us, like, are we humble enough to look and do that examination of conscience?
Well, and admit that he's probably right.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And be willing to it to have, yeah, like you said, in all humility to say, you know what, I'm not on the right track. I'm not truly living the authentic Christian life. I've gotten off my path. And it's okay because it's okay because Jesus has this abundant mercy and forgiveness for us and says, I'm going to be with you. Just, you need to stay focused on me. And it's like, you know, Peter getting out of the boat. As soon as he took his eyes off of Jesus, he sunk. He sank. And I think we sometimes get so distracted by life that we can miss out on what that focus that we're called to have on Jesus. And if we stay focused on him, we're going to live a better Christian life.
Yeah.
With his mercy, his grace, his strength, the sacraments, our scripture, our prayer time, it's all connected for us to stay on track. The tools are there.
Yeah, that's wonderful, Father. Thank you so much for reminding us of, one, God's goodness, and two, that spiritual roadmap we have to, you know, not just give a sermon, but live a sermon. We are so grateful to you, Father Eric Hill, pastor of Transfiguration Catholic Church in Marietta, for giving this amazing gospel reflection.
Amen. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Blessings to you both in your ministry.
Thank you. And we have some news on the horizon. Let me get that super quick. I am so sorry. here we go. All right. This is from the Catholic News Agency. Big news in the world of entertainment. So the actor who plays King David in Prime Video's hit series House of David, interesting this, check this out, has become Catholic.
I read that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Michael Iskander, 23, announced last week he's joined the Catholic faith after feeling called to the church for a long time. He said this is just the beginning of the journey and asks for prayers as he continues this walk with God. Iskander spoke about his role, about the role faith plays in his career, by the way. Mm-hmm. So check this out, Allison. When he auditioned first for the House of David, he was rejected, but before a second audition, his mother encouraged him to pray and fast.
Yes.
Wow.
It's beautiful.
2 months later, he was chosen for the part.
Mm-hmm.
Looking back, he says the experience reminded him that rejection and trials are a part of life, but the only way through is with God.
Amen. And God's time is perfect.
Amen.
Later on the Morning Quest.
Closing us out, Jane Smith, parishioner at St. Brendan the Navigator, will be talking about the one-of-a-kind corpus in the sanctuary. Get ready for Dadder Up Dave, because he's bringing the Monday memes. Chuck Persner is going to be next, helping us get acquainted with St. Pontian and Hippolytus.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. This is The Morning Quest.
Finding joy in the journey
with Josh and Allison. Mondays, Get Acquainted with the Sainted is sponsored by VerseBright.
It's 8:33.
Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Allison. We're going to look back to August 13th today, which was actually National Left-Handers Day. And I come to find out, I tried to find some left-handed saints. St. Teresa of Calcutta was the only one I came up with. They didn't really keep good records of that early on. But I want to talk today about St. Pontian and Hippolytus, who celebrated their memorial back on August 13th. Both recognized as martyrs. We celebrate these men in tandem, one a pope, the other a priest, and their story is an interesting one.
Mm-hmm.
In many respects, this is a feast day of two firsts in the history of the Catholic Church. St. Hippolytus bears the distinction of being the first official anti-pope, and St. Pontian was the first pope to ever abdicate the chair of St. Peter.
Oh.
You know, these historical facts attest to the very trying times of the early days of our church. St. Hippolytus was a biblical commentator and theologian who served in leadership under some rather unique circumstances. He has been described by church historians as a disciple of Irenaeus, was said to have been a disciple of Polycarp, and of course, both of these men are great saints in their own mm-hmm. right and played a key role in the early formation of the church. So the bloodlines run deep here.
Yeah.
Hippolytus was an ethical conservative. He was scandalized when Pope Calixtus, who was pope from the years 217 to 222, to put a little frame of reference around this, it was Pope Calixtus who extended absolution to Christians who had committed such mortal sins as adultery. He quickly became a rival of Calixtus, Hippolytus, that is, and this is where he gained the distinction of becoming, as mentioned, the first antipope.
Wow.
In this view, he opposed the Roman popes, who took a more lenient penitential approach to accommodate the large number of new pagan converts. Hippolytus was ultimately reconciled to the church before he would go on to die the martyr's death.
Mm-hmm.
But he contributed greatly to the writings of the early church. He composed a work now entitled The Apostolic Tradition, which contains the earliest known rite of ordination. It is from this document that the words of episcopal ordination in the Catholic Church come from. And they were updated most recently by Pope Paul VI, now a saint in his own right.
Mm-hmm.
He also wrote a compilation embracing the whole period from the creation of the world up until the year 234 AD, which is just a gigantic undertaking.
Yeah.
It has since formed the basis for many chronological works, both in the East and West. Pope Pontian, whose birth date is unknown, reigned as pope for 5 years, from 230 to 235. In the first years of his pontificate, the early Christian church enjoyed relative peace. But then, according to the well-known church historian Eusebius, the next emperor, Maximinus, began to actively and very brutally persecute our church. Mm-hmm. And both Pope Pontian and the anti-pope Hippolytus of Rome were arrested and exiled to labor in the mines of Sardinia, the salt mines. And this was generally regarded as a death sentence back then.
Yeah.
In order to make certain that the church was not deprived of its leadership, this is where St. Pontian made the very difficult, no doubt gut-wrenching decision to step down. And he was the first pope, as mentioned, to ever do so. And this was on September the 28th in the year 235 that Pope Pontian did indeed step down. Consequently, it was Pope Antiochus who was elected in his stead, who only reigned for about 2 months, not even 2 months, really. But it was around this time St. Hippolytus became reconciled to the Roman Church, and with this, that schism he had caused had started to come to an end. Both saints gave their lives in martyrdom while in exile in the infamous salt mines of Sardinia. Pope Fabian, who was the successor to Pope Antiochus, a much better pope. In fact, we've spotlighted him on a segment. Mm-hmm. His name comes up quite a bit. He was the pope who so famously had the dove land on his shoulder.
Oh.
And those on hand saw that as a sign of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
That he would become the next pope. And indeed, he went on to not only become a great pope for about 14 years, but a saint in his own right. A year later, Pontian was buried in the papal crypt of the Catacomb of Calixtus on the Appian Way. And the slab covering his tomb was discovered in 1909, not that long ago, really. And as he did on so many significant Roman tombs, it was Pope Damasus who wrote an inscription on the tomb of Hippolytus more than a century after that saint died. And Allison, I think you have that inscription, if you could read it for us.
Yeah, I sure do. It says, "Wherever he was able to go, he had spoken of the Catholic faith so all might follow it. Thus, our martyr deserves to be acknowledged indeed. And at the entrance of the forever closed catacombs of St. Hippolytus, a personalized graffiti from an ancient pilgrim is carved into the wall, a tender petition invoking today's saint. Hippolytus, keep Peter the sinner in mind. St. Hippolytus, keep all of us in mind."
Yeah, yeah. And of course, that inscription is a nod to the need for forgiveness.
You know,
Hippolytus, again, someone who you might consider a conservative socially, wasn't as quick to understand the power, perhaps, of the sacrament of reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
And again, these are the early times of our church. He stood strong for the truth. He understood that sins such as adultery and theft were no small matter.
Yeah.
But it was the other popes at that time who, once again, were converting mass numbers of pagans at the time, and they were more open to introducing this ocean of graces that our Lord offers to those who come to him with a contrite heart.
Yes.
And that's really where the conflict came. And, you know, again, here we see Pope Damasus I, a great pope, one of the greatest popes in the history of our church, really. We highlighted the fact that he did the same thing for Pope Sixtus II. He put an inscription on this tomb. So in that respect, he is performing this service so that our church history can live on and remain intact. I love that he was able to do that amongst the many things that he did during his papacy. And so there you have two very interesting men who, it's quite a story.
Oh, yes.
You know, in fact, they knocked heads in their own right, but were able to reconcile. I guess when you're in the salt mines doing hard labor, you get a chance to talk and work these things out. And apparently that's exactly what they did.
Yes.
And they are recognized as martyrs because they were literally worked in the salt mines of Sardinia until their death. We don't know if they died of starvation or sheer exhaustion, but we do know that as a result of being sentenced there, it was, in fact, a death sentence for them.
So St. Hippolytus is the patron saint of horses.
Yeah, beautiful animals.
Yeah, yeah. And St. Pontian is the patron saint of Carbonia and Montaldo Scrampi, Italy.
Yeah, two cities in Italy I'm not terribly familiar with.
Neither
but,
am I.
Perhaps our listeners have been there.
Mm-hmm.
I've never even been to Italy, in fact, but
I know I've been to Italy, but not those places.
Well, on your next trip.
Yes.
Yeah.
On my next trip abroad.
Great pilgrim trip. Yeah. We were talking about, do you have any vacations planned before we got on the air? I know you're saying that you may try and squeeze one in.
Well, you know what? School has started, but, you know, the kids, they've got fall break. And so every month, I think it's every 2 months, they have a week off. So I know my oldest has a football tournament in Tampa, Florida in October. Wow. So maybe we can kind of tie a nice little weekend in there.
That would be great. Yeah. Yeah. Flag football is becoming so popular now. And with the girls, too.
Absolutely. And it's girls flag football. Yeah, it's a travel team. So.
Well, it's a lot safer. I know as a kid, I played for years in the trenches, played football. Maybe that describes why I am the way I am. Too many hits to the head, I think.
Aww,
you know, football's a tough sport, you know?
Chuck, you're doing really good for being hit in the head that many times. You're amazing.
All right. Well, again, we've got two great Saints. And as we go forth in our daily days here, I say Saints Pontian and Hippolytus.
Pray for us.
This is the Morning Quest with Josh and Allison on your Atlanta Catholic Radio, AM 1160, The Quest.
Well, Daddy's home.
But before Daddy's home, it's 8:41. Mm-hmm. And you know what? That little the little incident we had, it's hilarious. If everybody could see Josh and I, you know, when he's talking, I'm supposed to push the button. When
to
I'm
start
talking,
the next thing.
Bingo. When I'm talking, he's supposed to push the next button.
And then sometimes you both push the button.
And hence, that's
same
what you get.
Time.
You just experience what you get.
That's right. But right now at 8:42, it is time for
Monday Memes.
Monday Memes.
The
some
meme
of them.
Team.
Some of them fun. Some of them inspirational.
I hope.
Yep. We've got a little of both
good,
here.
Good.
This is a quote from John Shirley, who's an author, says, weekends are a bit like rainbows. They look good from a distance, but disappear when you get up close to them.
Ah.
I watched my dog chase his tail for 10 minutes and thought, wow, dogs are easily entertained. Then I realized I just watched my dog chase his tail for 10 minutes.
There you go.
Here's a quote from St. Padre Pio. Mm-hmm. Do not forget to pray daily for your priests. Mm. Without your prayers, they cannot stand.
Wow. That's good to hear. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes people might assume, oh, they're fine. They're priests, right? But no, they need prayer as well.
And maybe even more so than anybody
Absolutely.
Else.
Absolutely. Yes. Mm-hmm.
When you don't know where to go, go kneel before the Blessed Sacrament.
Mm. I like that one. Mm-hmm. I like that one
a
lot.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. A quote from Pope Pius VII. The sin of this century is the loss of the sense of sin.
Ah. Oh.
Mm.
Wow.
How about that?
Wow.
Wow. And I'd love to look up what era that was said.
Well, I was thinking about that. Pope Pius VII, I don't know when he was alive, but it really doesn't matter because
it pertains.
I mean, whether it's 1800s, 1900s, today.
Yeah.
All right. This is Catholic trivia. Does anybody know?
I'm going to say 1800s.
Give me a date. What do you think?
1849.
Uh-huh.
1850.
It's Price is Right style
I
over
know,
here.
Is that funny?
This is $1 above. God, you need to get a confession for that. Close. If David just stuck with 1800s, it would have been 1742 through 1823.
Oh.
Okay.
So, yeah, he was, I mean, he would have been at the height of his ministry in the 1800s, for sure.
So when he talked about the sin of this century, I wonder which century he was talking about, the 1700s or the 1800s?
That's a good point.
Well, we'll have to find out when the quote was made.
Yeah.
The difference between me and Superman is he has supervision, and I require supervision.
Oh, my gosh,
there you go.
And I'm just visualizing, like you saying that, I'm just, it's coming
Dave's
from
Dave's wife
you.
Has three kids.
That's right.
Two little boys and Dave.
That's right. And we'll close it up on this one. 3,025 years from now, life will either be really good or really bad. It's 50-50.
Oh.
Wait a minute, what?
325 plus 2025 is 50-50. So it's either going to be good or bad. It's 50-50.
You know, it's a good joke when you have to explain it.
That's right.
And definitely to a comedian.
There you go.
Absolutely.
Coming up on The Morning Quest.
Closing out very strong, we have Jane Smith, parishioner at St. Brendan the Navigator, talking about the one-of-a-kind corpus in the sanctuary.
Dr. Ray Guarendi here. Coming up at 1 this afternoon on AM 1160, The Quest. Join me for The Doctor Is In. But now, it's back to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It is 8:47.
We are so excited to have Jane Smith with us. She is a parishioner at St. Brendan's in Cumming, Georgia, and she is going to be talking to us about their one-of-a-kind crucifix. Welcome to The Quest, Jane.
Oh, thank you, Allison.
So, Jane, how did St. Brendan's acquire this corpus that you have in your parish?
Well, it all started with a gentleman from a parish family. He approached our pastor, Father Matthew Van Smorenberg. He had a request that Father Matthew baptize his grandchild, but at a different day and a different time than we usually hold baptisms. So Father Matthew agreed and performed the baptism. And the grandfather asked Father if there was anything he needed. And Father replied that he was looking for a corpus for our cross. We had a Celtic cross, which is a flat cross that does not have Jesus on it. The man replied that he knew of two sources that might be able to help. One was in Mexico, and the other was a young prisoner in Angola prison in Louisiana, who he had heard had quite a talent for carving. So Father Matthews, to his credit, said, let's give the prisoner a chance. I knew nothing of this until Father presented the completed carving at the church. It seems it was done by Marty James Hebert. He was the prisoner, and I have found out after that that he had worked for 10 weeks on the carving, stopping to study it each day, wanting to capture the right expression for the face. He said that was the hardest part, and he said he prayed to God to guide his hands every day before he started work on it. People have asked where he got the idea for it, but he had been given a drawing of the corpus with the dimensions sketched out on it by Father Matthew, and I do have a copy of that drawing. He had sent it to me after. When it was completed, two parishioners drove a rented truck to the prison. It was a distance of almost 600 miles to pick it up and bring it back to St. Brendan's, and they met Morty and were very impressed with him. Shortly after that, in June of 2014, just before the Feast of Corpus Christi, it was carried to the altar by members of the Knights of Columbus, and we had a dedication ceremony, and that was quite beautiful.
That's amazing.
How did you come to know the prisoner who carved this incredible work of art?
Well, I didn't know him. But when I first saw carving, I thought it was so beautiful that I wrote to him. As I said, his name was Marty James Hebert, and I thanked him. And a short while later, I was surprised to find a letter on my volunteer desk at the church from Marty, telling me he was so touched by my words that he forwarded my letter to his parents. And he said, still a kid at heart, always wanting to please my parents. That touched me.
Wow.
So shortly after that, I received a phone call at the church from Marty's dad, his name is Skippy, thanking me for what I had written to his son. And he told me when Marty was just 22, he had gotten into a fight with a friend and killed him. He was 41 years old now at the time I was speaking to the father and serving a term of life without parole. And I asked if there was no hope of him ever getting out. And he said, I would never say there is no hope. There is always hope. Maybe the laws will change, the governor might change the law, maybe a new governor, etc. There's always hope. So fast forward to today, Marty is now 51 years old and has been in prison for 28 years. We've exchanged over 300 letters during the last 10 years, and I have come to know him very well. And I'm blessed to be able to call him my friend. There was a time when I thought that all prisoners were bad people and deserved to be there. And I thank God for showing me how wrong I was.
Wow, that is so amazing, Jane. Have you ever met him in person?
Yes, I actually have made two trips to the Angola Rodeo with a dear friend in 2019 and 2021. That was just amazing to visit him. We found him to be just as warm and open and charming as I knew he would be, and more so. He was just a wonderful person, and we had a wonderful time chatting with him and getting to know him better, although I felt that I really didn't know him quite well at the time.
Can you kind of tell us a little bit about the rodeo? Because he does other work there as well.
Yes, the rodeo, it's put on by the prison twice a year, and the inmates who are trustees are allowed, if they have arts and crafts background, they can carve items or some paint, some do carpentry, they make all kinds of things they can sell at the rodeo. So Marty has mostly Santa Clauses that he carves out of cypress knees, and the prisoners can sell them. They make money from them, and the money goes into their personal account. Of course, the prison takes a good chunk of it, and they can use that to purchase personal items, stamps, snacks, more material to make more items during the year. It's really a great thing, the rodeo, because the prisoners know it gives them an incentive to follow the rules, because they know if they don't, they'll lose that privilege. Before the rodeos, Angola was a much more violent prison, but not so much now.
Wow, praise God. Well, Jane, is there anything else you'd like to share? This has been so touching.
The thing I mostly would like to do is to thank you for hearing my story about Marty, and to invite all of you to come visit us at St. Brendan's and see this beautiful crucifix for yourselves. And when you stand or kneel in awe in front of it, because you will, please say a prayer for Marty. And whenever you think of him afterwards, just say a little prayer or mention his name, and God will know. Thank you, and God bless you all.
Wow. It is so moving to hear the love you have in your heart for this gentleman and how you are witnessing Christ's love to him and to all of us just by sharing God's unconditional mercy, love, and compassion.
And yes, it's true. He knows it. He knows he's been forgiven. And I know he's not the same person he was at 22 years old, and neither am I. When I write to him, I always try to end my letters with something uplifting. I have to say, truthfully, oftentimes he's the one who lifts my spirits.
That is so beautiful. I've been to St. Brendan's, but when I go back to that parish, I'm going to look at that amazing corpus with different eyes after learning about all this.
I know you will.
Thank you again so much, Jane, for sharing this beautiful story.
Thank you.
The Morning Quest keeps on rolling on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
Well, it's been a fun hour with you guys. A holy hour, dare I say.
Yeah, and that last conversation, I mean, that we had that, golly, earlier this year. What a beautiful, beautiful mission, right? And just her knowing that the gentleman.
I was really struck when she said, I thought all prisoners were bad.
Yeah.
And then she got to experience, you know, and walk with this person, and it changed her heart. And, you know, it's a corporal work of mercy to visit prisoners and serve them. And Jesus was very specific about that, visiting the sick, visiting those in prison. You know, if you did it for the least of these, you did it for me. And he, you know, that's in the category that he presents.
No, absolutely. And that crucifix, wow, the corpus, it's amazing when you walk, we'll go in there. So I hope people listen to this and go and visit, because it's stunning knowing that that's handmade.
And I think it's really poignant, too, because someone in that circumstance, it'd be so easy to fall into complete despair and say, my life's over. What is it worth? And here this person is, who created something that is going to aid people in their worship, their walk to Jesus. It's going to have this eternal thumbprint on the hearts of so many.
Yeah.
And it just spotlights that, you know, God can manifest his kingdom powerfully wherever we are in life.
Amen, amen, amen.
If we're on the top of the bottom, top of the mountain, or at the bottom, you know, either way, God can work wonders.
And we all go through them.
Amen. Well, it was a wonderful show today. I just love that conversation, by the way. That was so powerful.
Yeah.
Chuck Persner, what a cool Get Acquainted segment, spotlighting Saints Pontian and Hippolytus. Father Eric Hill, what an awesome addition he has been. Oh, man. Such amazing soul food. And just keeps it so relatable and understandable.
Yes.
And Brenda Sharman, boy, oh, boy. I hope that becomes a mandatory experience for all teenage girls because they are really doing so much
good
to help women see their God-given dignity, especially those teens. Glory be to the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Have a great day, and may you find joy in the journey.